for the benefit of our guest, about, I guess, seven weeks ago, I started a series from the book of Ephesians, and a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I showed a powerful video from Don Keithley, and I want to show you that quote, but before I do, I want to show you the, I believe, is the key verse in all of Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verse number 3. It's kind of our key verse, and it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Now that's important. Not is in the process of day by day blessing me. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all have ever prayed for God to bless you or bless somebody else? Sure you have, if you've been in church. Well, I believe we need to stop asking God for what He's already said He's given. And that's what Don Keithley said. And look at this quote. He said, "Let's free the Father from any more requests to give us what the kingdom has already provided." Now that flies in the face of everything you've been taught, right? Because that's just not how I pray. I'm used to coming to God and begging and pleading and committing to try harder if He'll do this and bartering with Him and that kind of thing. But folks, Jesus has said it is finished. And when He said that, the Bible says He sat down. And I love what Don Keithley said. We keep asking Him to get back up, come back and do all these things and so forth. So Peter said, we have all that we need that pertains to life and godliness already, because we're in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, and we're going to even look at that today as Paul's trying to show them that they were have received the Holy Spirit, they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and so forth. So we have all that we need. So how do we walk in it when we don't see the blessings, or we don't see the healing, we don't see the provision, the financial, the whatever it is we think we need? We don't see it manifested. How do we walk in that? Well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, and how do we pray for ourselves as well as others. I said this also, that God is moving us, look at this, God is moving us from asking to listening and then ultimately to walking in the provision that we already have. Now, verse 11, as we said about 3 weeks ago, Paul did a lot of talking in verses 8 through 11 about what we have received and talking about our inheritance. You see, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I gave the illustration, if Bill Gates, or the guy that supposedly the richest man in the world is the guy that founded Amazon, I forgot his name, worth billions, $180 billion, and he were to adopt you, and he only had one son to start with, and he made you his joint heir with his one son. In other words, everything he has is basically yours and your brother's now. Listen, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has adopted you. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're not just a poor little red-headed stepchild, as I've said before, and you're adopted over here, but you're not treated equally. No, you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are an owner. You're not a slave anymore. The Bible says we've been adopted. How do we operate? How do we walk in that? And that understanding, it's not from the beggar mentality. So today we're going to get a little practical. We're going to talk about how do we pray for John. That's the title of the message. Not John the Baptist, not John in the Bible. I just picked a name, okay? John, it represents you, it represents me, it represents who you're praying for. Now, look at verse 12 as we move forward here in Ephesians chapter 1. God's purpose was that we, that's talking about the Jews, he was talking to the Jews, who were first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And then he said, and now you, Gentiles, and by the way, I heard Jews and Gentiles in Bible as a kid, teenager, and I'm thinking, who's these Gentiles? Well, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Most of you, I don't know if there's any Jews here, I doubt it. We're all Gentiles, okay? So basically, he's covering everybody. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom was promised long ago. And some versions say you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. So in verse 13, it says you've heard the truth, the good news that saves you, and when you believed in Christ, then you were given the Holy Spirit, and so forth. As I've stated before, and there's Steve McVeigh does a lot of talking about this, a lot of times we think that we don't have the promises of God until we by faith believe it. Some don't believe that people have been buried with Christ and raised with Christ until they by faith believe it or say a prayer. The Bible says that all of humanity was buried with Christ, all were raised with Christ. However, when we by faith believe it and trust in it, then it becomes ours. It becomes real to us. Our believing it doesn't mean that when a person, for example, says, well, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior because I heard about Him, and then all of a sudden God's going to go back down and be buried. He's going to die again. He's going to now bury that person and raise him a new creation in Christ. No, He's already done that. It doesn't mean the person's saved. It doesn't mean the person is a Christian. It just simply means that the work has been finished. He now, when he by faith believes it, you see, he comes to an understanding. He's enlightened, if you will, as we're going to talk about, that Paul prayed for this church here at Ephesus. But basically, you were sealed. That means you were preserved. Nothing can undo what God seals. Amen? I used to doubt my salvation. Anybody else struggle with that? You had prayed to trust Christ as Savior, and oh my gosh, you'd blow it and you'd mess up. And, well, how can God be happy with me? And I finally came to the conclusion that my salvation was not based on how good a boy I am or how much I abstain from sin. It has nothing to do with that. It has all to do with what Jesus Christ did. And the Bible says, and Peter said, you're kept by the power of God. The Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. Here is what he's talking about. And I tell you, I finally put that to bed when Satan would try to cause me to doubt my salvation. And, well, am I really a Christian? Am I really not? I finally said, get behind me. My salvation isn't dependent upon how good I am. Because that's what Satan would do. He'd point fingers. Why, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't act like that. You know, and I have caught myself, I don't wonder if anybody else here is going to be bold enough to raise your hand in your heart, that you've looked at others and their behavior, well, there's no way they could be a Christian. Anybody else? Just curious. Okay. Oh my goodness. We can point out the sins in others, can't we? But we got plenty ourselves, don't we? Aren't you thankful that God didn't leave it up to works of any kind to redeem mankind? It's by grace through faith that not of yourselves. We'll be getting into actually next week, I think it is, talking about how that there's nothing we did to save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to keep ourselves saved. And I'm telling you, that takes the pressure off. And that doesn't make you want to go blow it and sin now. No, it humbles me when I blow it now. People say all the time, and I thought this was just in the Bible Belt. My son is experiencing some of this stuff up north. Same kind of thing. Yeah, you're just preaching easy believism, and you teach them that, they're just going to go out and sin and enjoy it now. Now, they were doing that before you told them that. I'm telling you, grace will turn you around, and I've seen that happen in my own life. Look at verse 14. It says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance. And we think that this is just talking about heaven. Heaven is a good deal no matter how you cut and slice it. But I'm telling you what, the Bible says we're seated in heaven right now. We need to be walking in our inheritance right now, and it's way beyond heaven. Wow, you don't act like y'all believe that. I'm telling you, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We need to understand what that means. But look at what he goes on to say. He gives us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify God. God wants us to walk in his inheritance, not to boast about, well, I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. No, look at what it says. So that we would praise and glorify Him. Now look at verse 15. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. Paul founded this church, and just like any church, the believers are struggling, and those that are coming into the church, they don't know, all they've heard is religious rules from the Jews, And here Paul is preaching a radical grace. But he founded this church and this group of people. But he was writing back to them saying, hey, be encouraged, keep the faith. I want you now to grow in this understanding of who you are. And he's telling them that you've been have an inheritance. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he's wanting them to know what that means. And he says here, I pray for you. Now, we've been discussing about how do we pray. Some of you have said, well, if we don't pray for God to bless people, we don't pray for God to heal them, we don't pray for God to meet their financial needs and pray that God would do for them, how do we pray? Well, I hope you're going to see some powerful truths today. First of all, be thankful for those God has put in your life. Be thankful. He said, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. And now he's going to move into, well, how did Paul pray for them? I believe there's some powerful principles here to teach us how to begin to pray a little more correctly, if you will. But pray for yourself, pray for others, and notice what he's going to say. Look at verse 17 and 18. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. Some versions say to be enlightened, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. He said, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given us to those he called. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Once again, Bible says as Jesus is in this world, so are we in this world. So are we. What does that mean? I hadn't heard that coming up in Sunday school, that I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I might have heard that term, but I wasn't really taught what that means. Many of you have asked, how do we pray? Well, folks, here it is. He said, pray for a revelation of Jesus. Pray for your eyes to be opened, to be enlightened to basically what we already have. You see a person struggling? Financially, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to open it up here just for a moment for a little bit of input from you. But how do you apply this scripture and pray for somebody instead of praying, oh God, please meet their needs, please run over here and take from this person to give to that? You see, we think God's got to take from other people to bless us when it comes to financial things. No, he's blessing on both sides. That's a good place for amen when you think about it. This is the same as praying for others to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And you've heard me talk about Peter before he died. Supposedly, he was crucified upside down. And you look at the last words that was recorded in the Scripture, supposedly the last words he wrote. We don't know that for sure. But as far as the Bible is concerned, the last words he wrote was 2 Peter. Okay? And he started out the book, pray that you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. He ended the book, look it up, chapter 3, the last few verses, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And it's the word epignosis. There's something about the word knowledge. It's kind of like there's love. Well, I love you. I love to eat food. But then there's I love you, agape love, the deepest form of God's love. The word knowledge has the same kind of thing. There's a Greek word that says I know something. I know that I live in Carroll County. Then there's the word epignosis. There's gnosis and then epignosis. A deeper, that's the words Peter used when he said grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. The word epignosis is a knowledge, not just a head knowledge. It's kind of like this thing of I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Okay, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I know that. Well, do I? Not really. I'm still growing in what that means. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's a deeper understanding that now that knowledge is becoming wisdom. That wisdom is now impacting my life, that it's changing my prayer life. I don't know about you, but I've never been so excited about praying in my life because I'm relearning how to pray. I'll catch myself, I'll think, okay, now how do I pray for that situation from the foundation of a finished work on the cross? Instead of a foundation of I'm a beggar and I've got to plead and I've got to coerce, I got to get as many people as I can praying so all these people praying will change God's heart to bless me. He's already done it. When you start getting this, you're going to think, oh man, I've been really messed up. in my praying. Now I want you to watch this. If we pray for others to be enlightened or to understand what we already have, what do we need them to be enlightened to? I believe it's to be enlightened to some things. I want you to look how Paul continues on as he in verse number 18. He said, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. So make this personal. I pray for John's heart to be flooded with light. Maybe he's going through a dark time. Maybe he's lost a loved one. He's got some physical illness. He's got a financial issue. Whatever it is that brings us problems. Pray for John that he'd be flooded with light so that he can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. Not those that he's giving a little bit at a time. We think God's just in the process of only just giving what we ask for. No, he wants us to believe that we have it all because we have all of Jesus. I'm telling you, I've prayed for you, I'm praying for me. I still ain't got this. But I tell you, God's opening my eyes a little bit. The more I study, the more I say, Holy Spirit, I'm praying for myself the way Paul prayed for the people. That he would understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. He just keeps on hammering this rich and glorious inheritance. By the way, that word confident hope is an expectation of God that he has blessed us. It goes right back to verse number 3. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So there are all kinds of needs that we feel to pray for. Am I right? There's individuals who are just not getting this message. I've been persecuted, as you well know. Anybody that's preaching radical grace, that's preaching the finished work of the cross, that's different from what they were raised under, is going to come under some persecution. Paul, I tell you, when I hear persecution, I've learned to say that. That's a good thing. Paul was persecuted, wasn't he? Jesus was persecuted. The people he was the hardest on was the religious hardheads that wasn't not understanding that I've come to change everything. The new covenant changed everything. Aren't you thankful? Read about it in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. That's another thing I wasn't taught as I was being raised up in church. That thank God we're not under that old covenant mentality. The old covenant says if you do your part, now God's going to do your part. So therefore, I will witness more this week. I'll try to abstain from that sin so God will bless me. Isn't that how you used to pray? You see, the new covenant is God said that covenant didn't work, and they knew it from the beginning. And he said, now God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all made a covenant to each other on our behalf. They will not break their part. I can say all day long, Peter, Lord, you know, Peter said, pray lest you fall under temptation. And Peter says, not me, Lord. The rest of them's going to deny you, but I'll go with you to the grave. Well, who was the first one? The rooster told on him, didn't he? He cursed. You see, when we boast in what we're going to do for God, now listen, when we boast about what we're going to do or we're not going to do, I'm telling you what, you're setting yourselves up for failure. Because I'm telling you, we don't know what we'll do. The Bible says that without him, we can do nothing. But when we're understanding that we're totally saturated with the love of Jesus that Debbie so beautifully sang about, that there's nothing we can do to cause God to love us anymore, there's nothing we can do to cause him to love us any less, and we're saturated with who we are as a child and a son or daughter of God, I'm telling you, you have a confident power that, yes, I can blow it out there on my own. Paul calls it walking in the flesh. But when we understand we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, that there's nothing that like I can't walk through. And that's what understanding your identity in Christ does. It helps you to walk from a foundation of the finished work of the cross. But let's say someone's going through a financial tough time or a relational problem or so forth. How do we pray? You might say, well, preacher, this is really more like for this. I could see where this would be an easy prayer for somebody that's, you've got this grace thing down a little bit better than maybe your spouse. How many of y'all have had some talks with your spouse? You're starting to see it, but yet they're not, or you got an uncle or an aunt or a mother or a daddy or somebody like that, and you really want them to see it so bad, and you're trying to help them to reach out and accept it and believe it. Well, how do you pray for them? Isn't this a perfect prayer here? Hey, pray that their hearts would be flooded with light. That's how Paul prayed for them, right? So see, that's easy to pray for. How about we get down to some tough things? Financial blessings, financial struggles, health issues, relational issues, or got a big decision to make. Just pick one. How do you take these same principles and now you begin to pray for these specific needs? I want a little help here. Talk to me. Some of y'all that's been thinking already about how do I pray for this, how do you pick a need you see in yourself or somebody else? Help me out. Tell me, how would you take some principles that we're talking about and pray for that person? This is for the brave only.
One thing that I find myself doing, still find a need to talk to God about it. You know, I still need to, you know, so whether it's financial health or whatever, just to say to God, look, I'm still, this is still, it's a burden on me or whatever. Sure. But then I go back and say, but you have promised this, you have promised that. So that's the way I've been handling it
recently.
All right,
good. Is someone else?
This reminded me of a text I actually sent a family member this morning, and asked that all of you remember in prayer and praying in agreement in that he's healed our cousin Zach Brown, and things are still critical for him. And I was just messaging Tammy and Greg, his parents, this morning, and I had sent them this. I had said, when one of our children was hurt by someone else in their childhood, and we went through that just devastating time, God said to me, just as the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening, so shall you. Meaning that God will strengthen you for each new day and help you to settle in the evening in that, in his comfort and in his hope, one day at a time, one step at a time, one breath at a time. And I think that's what it means, is that, you know, we have this faith and we have this hope, and yes, it is in us, but we have to just every day let it settle on us. And that way we settle in the evening in that, trusting in that, that the next day that same hope and that same presence is going to carry us through the next second and the next moment as well in those hard times.
I like that. Settle. If we have it, you know, if it's healing, for example. I got sick as a dog. I mean, it came, hit me like a ton of bricks on Thursday, and it was sore throat, it was drainy, just waking up, you know, just clogged up and terrible. And I've learned, you know, there's Bible verses, I encourage you to find them, on healing, that talks about that we've been healed. Every infirmity was taken at the cross. And I tell you, it's kind of like taking medicine. Do I stop taking medicine? I take medicine. It's okay. Some say, well, if you really believed in healing, you wouldn't be taking medicine. You wouldn't ever go to the doctor. If that's you, I'm good with that. But don't tell me how to believe. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. This thing of healing, I ain't got it down pat. But I started claiming. I said, Lord, you've already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. This is fresh on my brain. And I said, in that spiritual blessings is way beyond this. Everything is spiritual. We're spirit beings in a physical body. And as Don Keithley's been talking about, I want to begin to walk in the spirit person instead of letting the flesh body take over. Amen? And I said, you know what? I've been healed. I'm in Jesus Christ. There's no sickness in Jesus. And I'm telling you, within about 24 hours, it turned around just like that. It doesn't always happen that quick. It's not always just, why does God not do it? I don't know. All I can tell you is what I'm believing, and if something comes back, I just begin to keep praying and saying, God, you know, even though it hadn't manifested in me now, I believe that I'm totally healed. And there's no place for the sickness in the body that's in Jesus. And so that's just what I do, okay? Anybody else got a comment?
My prayers for myself or other people tend to follow what I'm reading here, where it says be flooded with light. I see that as flooded with an understanding that this wasn't a surprise to God, whatever situation it was. There's an ending, and I like to hope that people will use that ending, whatever it is in that situation, to better glorify Him. Unfortunately, it always doesn't go like we want it to. Sometimes it goes better, sometimes it goes worse, but I think that whatever situation it was didn't catch God by surprise. Oh, yeah. So that's what I look for.
Wow. That sounds like a confident hope. Well, thank you. This helps, believe it or not, to hear where you're at. I definitely have not got it down pat as I shared with you, but I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit's teaching me and so forth. But what, talking about that question, I wrote down a few notes. I said, Lord, I pray that John will understand the confident hope which you have given him. Lord, I pray for John's heart that it would be flooded with light of who he is and inherited a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I pray that you would give him, not the prayers that we used to, well, Lord, I pray that you would bless him financially. I pray, oh God, that you would just heal him in the name of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. I pray that you'd give him peace. The Bible says specifically, we already have his peace. Stop praying for what he's already given. Pray that we would be enlightened and tap into who we are and what he's already given. But if we've been given every spiritual blessing, if we have all that we need that pertains to life and godliness, if we are in Jesus and have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, do we really lack anything? Well, sure we do, preacher. From the physical, yes. We don't see the bills paid. We don't see the healing. We don't see the whatevers. But thank God in advance that it's done anyway. And let Him manifest it at His when He chooses. Begin to pray from the foundation of hope instead of the foundation of lack. Pray from the foundation of the finished work of the cross. Now notice what else Paul said. He continues to help us. He said, and what is the surpassing greatness? He's praying now for the church. What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heaven in heavenly places. Notice how Paul is still praying that they would see the greatness of His power. How about when somebody's struggling? Lord, I pray that John would see the power that you've already provided him as he is in Christ, as he is walking through this situation. I pray that you would enlighten him, flood his mind, flood his heart with who he is and the power that's right there already with him. God, thank you because you've already been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. John has been raised at a new creation as Christ and is seated right there with you. I pray his focus will be on you instead of that hurtful situation. You see how you can now begin to pray for him without pleading and asking, begging? Look at verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. I believe that's about everything. And every name that is named. Not only in this age. You see, we sometimes want to spiritualize these things and say it's all talking about just heaven. He says not only in this age, that's right now, but also in the one to come. Lord, John feels he's being overcome with this situation, but remind him that you have already won the victory. He's already sat down. What if we really started praying that? I mean something, the rug's jerked out from under you, you get the unexpected news of whatever, and you are just devastated. What if you take your thoughts captive of fear, and you begin to pray the way I'm talking about here? And you're saying, God, as Adam said, this hadn't taken you by surprise. God, that I have the power of Jesus Christ. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm your child. Nothing can touch my life that you don't already know and see. And God, that you've got a plan here, and I've got a choice. Am I going to fear, run in fear and hide and worry of what is and what that, or what if what's going to happen? What am I going to do if they do this? And what is going? How am I going to make ends meet? And on we go. And you just take those thoughts captive and let that grace just settle on you. The confident hope. God hadn't abandoned you. You're in Him. You couldn't get out. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You couldn't get out of Him if you tried. Wow. I never will forget. There was a time when I knew there was as a little kid, my dad, he taught us to work. That's about all he knew was work. And we learned how to work, okay? Even the little bitty boys. And I remember being in fear one time of this guy had this, we cleaned out chicken houses. We hauled shavings to back fresh put in the chicken houses years ago before they had all this stuff. But anyway, we were at a chicken house, and I knew this guy had a really ferocious German Shepherd. And I actually got bit. He came around the corner and bit me. And I remember the next time we went to that, and I got a scar on my arm to prove it to this day. That's why when I go out and price a swimming pool and somebody says, just act like you're not afraid of them, they won't bite you. I say, listen, you put the dog up or I'm not coming. I do it a little kinder than that, but that business about just act like you're not afraid. I said, you weren't met with as a little boy like I was probably. But anyway, I remember going back to that chicken house, knowing that dog was still could be around. And you talk about hovering like a little chick under the wings of a mother hen. I was right beside my dad. And I knew, and dad knew that it had happened before, and I knew that my dad was going to take care of me. And I tell you what, there's power in that kind of understanding. That's a small picture. But you picture now yourself in a fearful situation, whatever how it's brought on, you're fearing something could happen, or you're fearing something has happened now, you're in fear of what am I going to do. I want you to picture you're standing right beside of Jesus Christ.
Because you are.
Actually, you're actually in Him. It goes beyond. I've used the wrestling tag team. You know, if you've seen wrestling, right, and there's two people, and they're getting stomped over here in the floor, and they're trying to reach over here and tag team. We're kind of like that with Jesus Christ. We think that He's not in the ring with us. He's over here watching us. Go, God! Come help me! We're reaching, trying to... Thank God. Isn't that a crazy way to look at the Father? We're in Him. And I'm telling you, when that confident hope just begins to settle. I've been in the worst situation in my life. I won't go into detail because it can affect some personal situations here, and I want to tell you for that, but I was understanding some of this even back before the grace days, and I said, God, this hadn't taken you by surprise. What am I worried about? I'm in you. What if they talk about me? What if they do? What if I lose my house? What if, what if, what if? Has anything changed? Romans 8. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. What can change how God sees you? Nothing. What will cause God not to keep you in His care and love you and support you? He's for you. Nothing. What do you see in these verses? Did you notice there in verse 22, he said, head over all things to the church? Verse 22, I'm going to give it to you in a couple of versions. And by the way, I tell you this, read different versions as you're trying to understand Scripture. Look up the words in the Greek and so forth. He put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him, talking about Jesus, as head over all things to the church. What does all mean? All. All things means all your fears, all your struggles, all your whatevers. He put it under subjection. Say, well, yeah, that's true. He did put all that under Jesus' feet, but that ain't helping me today. Well, keep thinking. Look at verse 23. He said the church, which is, who's the church, by the way? Raise your hand. It's not this building. It's not because we're meeting in a group. The church is you. You are the bride of Christ. That's who he's talking about. Okay, look at it. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Notice the next verse, or the verse again in the New International Version. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow. What does he mean, all things under his feet? Lord, you put, we're talking about how to pray for John. Lord, you put this situation, you've already got it under your feet, under your care. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Is John part of the church? Yes. He's been raised a new creation in Christ. And now this problem, which fits the all things, are under Christ's feet. But since John is in Christ, since John is seated with Christ, they're under his feet also. If John could just understand that, he would have a peace. He would walk in a peace that's already his. Same thing for us, right? Now notice there, he said, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Who fills is from the Greek word which means to furnish, to satisfy, to execute, to finish. In other words, he satisfies or finishes everything in every way. He's trying to cover it all. You have all you need that pertains to life and godliness. Lord, enlighten John that he would be filled, that he would be filled with the understanding of the finished work of the cross. Thank you for the finished work of the cross you've already completed in John's life. You put all things under your feet, even this situation that he's struggling with right now. I hope we'll come back next week and you share how you begin to pray a little differently. It's going to take some time. I'm telling you, I'm so used to praying in another way. I'm just thankful. And I, as I've stated earlier, I've never been as excited about my prayer life. And by the way, prayer is not, I got to make designated time and spend so much time in prayer. I've been asked to commit that in church before years ago. I'd commit to spend 10 minutes in prayer every day. You know, preacher would say, Jesus went to the cross and he died for you. We can at least give him 10 minutes a day. No, Paul said, I continually pray. Pray without ceasing is not saying, oh, I got to make 10 minutes a day. Prayer is a thing that Angel experienced writing and didn't even know what she was praying. The Holy Spirit was communing with her. You have a God consciousness that you're in Him, that you're a son, that you're a daughter. And there, yes, it's okay to verbally talk to Him. That's okay. But your spirit is communing with Him, and there's a subconsciousness going on that you're just a child of the King. Yes, I am. I like that song. I'll shut up. Y'all can talk. By the way, for the benefit of our guests, we do have some discussion going on right here. If y'all want to stay and chat about this a little bit more, disagree with the preacher is okay. That's one of the reasons that I'm not here, so you can talk about me. It's all right. All right. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for just coming and continuing to open your heart and listen to things that maybe you don't agree with on the surface. I say this all the time. Just don't shut it down because that ain't what your grandmama taught you or your former preacher taught you. Just open your heart, let the Holy Spirit be your teacher, and I promise you, you're going to continue to grow in a way that you've not grown before.